Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we are going to face the issues. I'm delighted for this privilege to come to you each day at 5 o'clock by way of this radio station. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, we speak of this at the opening part of the broadcast each and every day. We face issues, multitudes of issues in life. Some of those are considered political, some are social, some are economic, some are spiritual, some are theological and doctrinal. But all of them, if viewed from a biblical worldview, fall into the category of finding answers in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. May I remind you that this is a listener participation program. You can participate by calling 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. Join in the discussion, the dialogue, ask your questions. By the way, your question need not be pertaining to that which I am discussing on any given occasion. It can be something that you're concerned about, theological question, biblical question, something that you would like an answer on, that we could seek the truth from the Word of God together. That is 401-1413. By the way, let me take this brief moment to invite you to come and worship with us Sunday at First Conservative Baptist Church. The Bible study Sunday school hour is at 9:30 on Sunday morning. The regular worship hour on Sunday morning is 10:45. The 7 o'clock Sunday evening worship time. We'd be delighted to have you at any one of those services on Sunday, or the midweek service, prayer and Bible study, fellowship meal together at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. That's First Conservative Baptist Church. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, just 1 mile south of I-295, right in the very heart of Mandarin. I pray that you will find an opportunity and worship with us. We simply go back to the old form of worship. Tried and true. It is not the rock and roll. It's not 15-minute sermonette for Christianettes. It is the exegetical proclamation, expositorily preaching of the Word of God, verse by verse and chapter by chapter through the Scripture, with the predominance of the time given over to preaching and teaching the Word of God. Yes, we have music. Our music is the traditional gospel singing, words that you can understand, music that warms the heart, sets the stage for the Word of God to enter into the heart of men and women, boys and girls, the way God designed it in His Word, according to the Scripture. So let me once again remind you to worship with us. As we think on the subject of facing issues, may I remind us, with a biblical worldview, when we look at anything concerning the home of the church or government, those are the three institutions that God instituted. Those are the three institutions that God gave us. And therefore, if God gave them to us, if God created them, they're all under the auspices of God. Therefore, they all fall under the guideline and the directions of the Word of God. Therefore, as we speak on subjects, whether it be considered political or social or economic, I want to remind us there's no such thing as political speech in America. Whether it's in the pulpit or the pew by way of radio, if it is dealing with subjects that's found in the Word of God, a biblical worldview mandates that we as Christians be salt and light and deal with those issues. I have never felt that a Christian ought to crawl in the closet, close the door, and sheepishly turn away from issues that deals with life. Therefore, as we face the issues, I pray that you will recognize the need to face them, understand them, deal with them according to the Scripture. God would have us to do that. So I pray that you'll be found faithful in doing so. You can call us at 401-1413 and join into the discussion today. I'm reading a little article here that is kind of showing the trends of today. It says teachers at a school directed to stop addressing students as boys and girls. Yes, you heard that right. Teachers at Carlos Rey Elementary School in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the school said that the principal told the teachers that you must stop calling students boys and girls. It seems the school administrator decided to take a new transgender bathroom policy just a little step further than they had been doing. This appears to be the first example, the article says, of something that started as a bathroom issue, now is expanding into daily life, into every classroom in America. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to recognize a couple of two or three things as we continue our thought that we've been discussing, mixed and intermingled with current issues, and that is biblical prophecy. My book that I've had the privilege of researching and writing and publishing several years ago, called The Panorama of Prophecy, goes carries us in the study all the way from the rapture to the return of Christ, the reign for 1,000 years, and then the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all of eternity. We can, for some of us, most folks can sit back and relax just a little today, because after all, the primary is over. The people have spoken. The votes have been tallied. The results have been reported. The newly elected candidates now must demonstrate their commitment to we the people, both local, state, and national. And yet we face perhaps the most important election in your lifetime and mine, coming up on November the 8th. That is the presidential election. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind us that direction our country takes for the next 50 years is totally predicated on the way you vote and the way I vote in the 2016 presidential election on November the 8th. We've all watched down through the past 12 to 18 months with the candidates vying for position. We've narrowed it down to two, one that is a socialist, the other that is a professional businessman that wants to turn America back to the direction that we were going in years ago when God truly blessed America. And that blessing, I believe, is as a result of honoring God, studying His Word, allowing Bible to be taught in the classroom, and prayer, and pledge to the flag, all of those things that we call God and country. But we have turned away from that. And I pray that many of the candidates that we just placed into office or elected for office, I pray that they will honor God in what God has called them to do in their leadership role in their political positions. You can call us at 401-1413, join in the dialogue and the discussion. But may I remind us what we're seeing, and it's almost as the Bible jumping off the pages of the newsprint and the daily radio and television news. It's almost as though God's Word is leaping right off the print, right off the Scripture, right off the pages of the Word of God, into the reality of where we are today. You see, the Bible warns us that we are in the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a matter of if we are or when we get there. We're there. In fact, I've said for many years now, I believe we're in the last of the last days. We are in the day in which everything the Scripture talks about, when the Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That means deadly, dangerous, difficult, disastrous days shall come. Perilous times shall come. For, by the way, this little Greek word gar, G-A-R, which simply means because. Why perilous times? Because men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unnatural, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form that's an outward show and shine of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, the Scripture says. How can we tell we're in the last days? The Bible just tells us, gives us a good overview there, but on a practical level, on a day-to-day level, what you see and what I see, what we hear and what we see taking place, how can we tell that we're truly in the last days? What are some of the signs? Well, let me just do a little litany here, overview of it, before we further study the Scripture as to what the Bible tells us about the last days. What are some of the things that you can see and I can see that's a fulfillment of biblical truth about the signs of the last days? Well, we got sodomite lifestyles. We've got those that are practicing sodomy, those that are perverts, those that are transsexuals, those that are homosexual, those that want to pry into the girls' bathrooms and pretend to be men. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem there is a mental disorder that causes them to be confused about their sexuality. There's never been a scientific discovery of any DNA that shows a woman happens to be locked in a man's body or vice versa. You might find sin DNA, but you won't find a transsexual DNA. You will not find a homosexual DNA. There's no such thing. It's already been debunked by medical science with many of the sodomites that say we were born this way. There's a good Greek word for that. It's called horse feathers. No such thing. It is a pretense that's been placed on society that multitudes want to believe, even some Christians want to believe it. And many denominations, mainline denominations today, have turned their back on God, turned their back on the Word of God, turned their back on what Bible calls sin, and they've allowed the sodomite weddings, the sodomite marriages, the sodomite lifestyle in their church and say, well, you know, they love Jesus also. Well, it's an impossibility. That's an oxymoron. There's no way to say that a person's been blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, and continue in sin. Yes, I understand. The Bible is very, very clear. We're all sinners. We're born into this world with Adamic blood in our veins. You cut the vein of any human being, I don't care what race or ethnicity or background or socioeconomic status, and you find Adam's blood. That's fallen blood, sin blood. Flowing in the veins of every creature, every human being that God's ever created. So we're all sinners. But there's the difference. When a person says yes to Jesus Christ, my Bible says old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. A person can't say I'm saved and continue to live in sin. The Apostle Paul dealt with that in Romans the 6th chapter. He says it's an impossibility to say you're saved and continue in sin that grace might abound. That's an impossibility. So we're talking about some of the indicators that we're in the last days. That's one. The second is, the Scripture says in Matthew 24, nation against nation. That's prophesied in the Scripture. May I remind us that you can take a globe and you can close your eyes and spin that globe, place your finger any place on that globe, and you can just about count on it. There's some kind of struggle, some kind of battle, some kind of uprising, some kind of difficulty that you and I could refer to as nation against nation. And the Scripture also says in that Matthew 24 text, wars and rumors of wars. That word simply means rumblings of wars. It's wars and rumblings of wars. Ladies and gentlemen, let me pause a moment and say I don't believe I have ever seen a time in my lifetime, and I'm still less than 100 years old, I don't believe I've seen a time in my lifetime that we have any more of a rumbling of wars around the globe than we're finding today. Listen, we're talking about the signs that we're in the last days, the signs of the last times where the scripture speaks of. We are in those last days, indicated by the Sodomite lifestyle, indicated by nation against nation, wars and rumors of wars, wickedness in high places, political leadership selling out, selling out our nation. It's what's called pay for play. The Clinton agenda, the Clinton State Department, and now the same Clinton that's running for presidency. Go back 35 years, I dare you to pull up the record. Look at the lifestyle. Look at the destruction. Look at the pay for play that's been historically the lifestyle, the modus operandi for Hillary Rodham Clinton and her husband, Mr. Bill. May I remind us, there is a difficulty in a nation, and it's pointing out to what we find in the scripture that tells us what the days will be like in the last days before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, 37, 38, and 39, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We're talking about the last days because the last days lead into the days of destruction called the tribulation, which lead into the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the setting up of his throne in Jerusalem to rule and reign for a literal 1,000 years. Not a make-believe, not a hypothetical, not a symbolic 1,000 years, but literally to rule and reign for 1,000 years. So we're talking about some of the indicators that we see in society that fulfill and validate what God's Word says about the time in which we are living today. The other thing is another point, another scenario that we need to understand indicates that we're in the last days. It's the Islamic jihadists that are out of control. You see, our president seemingly assisting the Islamic agenda. You might wonder, well, why do we see the president seemingly bowing to Iran, secretly transmitting $400 million, having already released $150 billion to them, and that's discovered that other hundreds of millions have also been transferred to the nation of Iran. Iran's been given the free rein to develop the nuclear weapon. I believe, personally, they already have it. I believe the only thing they're waiting on now to make the announcement is a delivery system, a warhead delivery system that can deliver the nuclear weapon to the shores of America or to other places around the globe. I believe that we're living in the last days when we see this group of people that's known as Muslim. Now I know, understand, and I am fully aware that some Muslims are getting saved, and that is wonderful, glory, hallelujah, praise God for that. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, the book called the Quran, that demonic book that they use and call it their holy book, the Quran is 87% ideology, 87% a war book, a war manual, less than 13% dealing with anything called religion. There's not one thing in the Quran and the lifestyle of an Islamic that even indicates or leans toward anything called peacefulness, anything that is called spirituality. We're living in a world today where the desire for Islam is coming to the forefront. You find this, by the way, in the coming global Islamic invasion. Study Ezekiel 38 and 39. Five Islamic nations led by the nation of Russia coming against Israel and ultimately proliferating until it's around the globe with the global inculcation and the global engulfing of the ideology called Islam. The word Muslim or Islam means submission. It is Islamic goal to cause the world to submit. And around the world on any 24-hour cycle, there are lives that are being taken, throats that are being cut, drownings, crucifixions, death by putting into a cage and setting a fire, by the Islamics that call themselves peaceful. And ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that, if you believe that Islam is a peaceful religion, simply indicates you've not studied the Word of God. If you believe that Islam is peaceful, you've never cracked a Quran to look at what the Quran says that a Muslim is to do. Slay the non-Muslim. Cut his throat off. Behead him. Make no friends with Jews or with Christians. Find them and slay them wherever you can. It is filled with the surahs found in the Quran that is so devastatingly wicked and evil. I don't know how any human being could call that peaceful. But we're talking about the last days. We're talking about the escalation of these dark events, these dangerous, destructive events, the perilous times that Paul speaks of in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. May I remind us, they're present. They're here. We're seeing not only the Sodomite lifestyle rampant, nation against nation, wars and rumors of wars, wickedness in high places, political leadership selling America out. You can find that, by the way, on a global basis, not just in America, but we happen to be Americans. Islamic Jihad is totally out of control, and leadership in our nation, it's bowing to them. Drugs, open bathroom. Let me just touch on this for a moment. I am saddened by any politician. I'm saddened by any so-called Christian. I'm saddened by any so-called pastor that will not take a public stand and boldly proclaim in our county, in DeVol County, Dr. Vitti ought to be fired. The school board ought to be totally replaced. If the school board doesn't have the spine and the backbone to fire Dr. Vitti, cancel his contract, and if there is a need, write him a check, put him on a plane or a train, and ship him out of DeVol County. That's how passionate I am about this open bathroom garbage for DeVol County, where we send our sons and daughters and our kids to school where they need to learn mathematics and reading and science and history. And we send them to school to be safe, a safe haven, a safe place to study. And it has become a den of garbage where our kids, through the open bathroom philosophy that permeates DeVol County schools, where the girls' showers, bathrooms, locker rooms are all open for perverts, pedophiles, transsexuals, homosexuals, and any other perverted sexual being can go in and watch them and photograph them or video them, or in some cases harm them or try to hurt them, destroying their innocence. May I say that that's one of the major, major things that we see where immorality is literally rampant in a world. And that's one of the major indicators and signs of the last days before the church is raptured out of this old world. The man of sin, the Antichrist, steps on the scene and controls a globe that leads it into further devastation and destruction before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing that will be in the final days, the last days, is that of drugs and drinking, parties and pleasure without any regard to our future. I read that a moment ago in Matthew 24, 36 through 39. There's another indicator found in Revelation 18, verse 23 and 24. Revelation 18, by the way, comes after Revelation 17. Revelation 17 is dealing with the great whore, the apostate church. Revelation 18 is dealing with commercial Babylon and financial Babylon and the wrap-up of this old world. And the scripture says in verse 23 and 24 of chapter 18, "And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." The word "their sorceries" is the word pharmakeia. We got our word pharmacy, our drugs. May I remind us, in the last days, one of the major, major indicators is that of a drug-crazed stupidity of humanity society. Now, yes, I meant to use those terms. We have now a push in the state of Texas wanting to make Texas another drug-induced state, just like Colorado. We have the Morgan Law Firm, John Morgan and his partners, pushing to get a referendum on the ballot for November, where Florida can become a open drug state, where people will drive around so drugged out of their mind that you won't know what happened to you if you're on the highway driving, where kids will drink or eat, drink soda pop that's laced with drugs or candy that's drug-filled, and have death rampant in our state. May I say, simply summarizing the thought, we are in a day and an era when we're faced with a drug-crazed society. And may I remind us that the Scripture warns us that just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the last days. And in Genesis, the 6th chapter, verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Verse 13 says, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them from the earth." May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that we're in the last of the last days, very evident by these things that we're seeing taking place in our society. Let me remind you the chronology of what is before us. The next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. The bride of Christ will be suddenly seized, snatched out of this old world. The man of sin, the Antichrist, will step on the scene. There'll be 7 years of ruin. The Bible calls it tribulation. 7 years of tribulation, pressure, pain, difficulty, danger, darkness, distress, etc. And then the conclusion of that, the end of the 7 years, is culminated with the battle of Armageddon, the battle of all battles. And then that brings in the Lord Jesus Christ in his return, where he'll slay the enemies of God, the enemies of Christ, the Christ rejecters, Bible haters, God deniers. He will reign for 1,000 years and then be ushered into eternity, where we'll rule and reign with him throughout all of eternity in that place called heaven. Yes, that is the program that's before us, before this old world. And I pray that you've already said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. You're not saved because you're a good person. You're not saved because you're a Baptist. You're not saved because you're Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Episcopalian, a Roman Catholic. You're saved by placing your faith and trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, asking him to save you, forgive you of your sins, come into your heart and save you. I pray that you've done that. I pray that you'll join us again tomorrow. I can tell by the music it's time for us to get out of here. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow at the same time. Thanks for tuning in today, and God bless you until we come together by radio tomorrow at the same time.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast? 666. And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.